8:31 on a Thursday morning. Talking Ball, Scott Tyson, Judy Armand with you until 9 a.m. And we mentioned before the break just how big our next guest is on the Neighbors Wealth Management Hotline. And really, I mean, the accolades go on and on and on. But Drew, I mean, just an amazing guest.
Yeah, I mean, she's a trailblazer, a member of our community, as we said. She's in the Bob Jones High School Hall of Fame. She was the Gatorade Player of the Year in 1996, playing for June Seals at Bob Jones. I remember watching her on the hardwood here in our community. She went on to be a four-time letter winner and a big part of Vanderbilt women's basketball, and now for the past 20 years or so, she has been a part of Vanderbilt University and is now the first African-American female to head an athletics department, as she is the athletic director at Vanderbilt University, one of the most prestigious schools in all of the United States and, of course, part of the SEC. And who else, who better than to introduce than Candace Story Lee is back in her hometown now, in our home area, I should say, with us on 97.7 The Zone. Candace, welcome back to Huntsville in the Madison County area. You're with Drew and Scott. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Candace.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Well, this is a treat for you and a treat for us, I should say. But I can imagine right now it is a busy and crazy time for you as an athletics director, dealing with everything that you have to deal with right now.
Yes. First of all, it is a treat for me. So I want to be clear about that. I'm really excited to be on in North Alabama. And, you know, I'm very proud of everyone. Like, my staff laughs at me because they say, "You're from Huntsville." And I say, "Oh, I'm from the Huntsville area. I'm from Madison." I'm really proud of that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's an interesting time for all of us in this world. And, you know, I think I was really excited for the opportunity to step into the interim role. Certainly had no idea that a few weeks later we'd be dealing with a pandemic. But I'd have to say that in the midst of very tragic circumstances, there have been some silver linings, because the opportunity to work with other ADs across our league who are challenged with the same issues, and just seeing how people in our community are coming together, the response from our student athletes. I mean, it's a tough situation, but I've been really pleased with how everyone has reacted.
And Candace, tell us, how often are you in contact with the other ADs around the league? I mean, we heard from Greg Byrne earlier in the show. They're constantly having to get updates from Greg Sankey and the SEC commissioner, and kind of just a day-to-day kind of deal where you're trying to just stay on top of everything. You can't really – it's kind of going through a fog. You can't really – you don't really know athletically what the future holds. But how often are you communicating with your fellow athletic directors?
Very often. So Greg Sankey, our commissioner, has done a great job of bringing us together. I mean, we formally connect just about every day. I mean, certainly the first 3 or 4 weeks, we were having daily, like 7 days a week, conference calls with all of the ADs. Now it's about 3 times a week formally, but informally, we're just in constant communication. And, you know, this is challenging because we cover 11 states in our footprint, and so each state is reopening at its own pace with its own set of guidelines. We also have SEC influences, NCAA influences, and then, of course, you know, the direction set by our university. So it's a complicated matter, but we're talking all the time.
You have been at Vanderbilt for almost 20 years, nearly 20 years. Talk about getting the title of athletics director kind of came with some unusual circumstances, because I don't think anybody saw it, how it was going to play out there. But just talk about getting that chance to lead Vanderbilt.
It's a tremendous honor. You know, I can remember getting in my parents' car and getting on 65 in 1996, headed to Vanderbilt as a freshman, and being scared to death. And begging to turn around and go home, thinking I had made the wrong decision. And from, it only took a couple hours, and I realized I was in the right place. But all jokes aside, from the moment that I came to Vanderbilt, I knew it was going to be a life-changing opportunity for me. I didn't know how. You know, I didn't know what it would look like. My parents always taught me to just do your best to be prepared, right, and just do the work that's in front of you. So I try to do that as a student athlete, and then having the opportunity to continue as a staff member, I tried to take that same approach. And you're correct, it was some unique circumstances and just, you know, but sometimes that's how blessings come. And I'm very much indebted to David Williams and to Malcolm Turner for the things that I was able to learn from them. And when given the opportunity, I'm just trying to make the most of it. And so it's tremendously humbling. And I'm also just so excited to be able to serve student athletes who, you know, not too long ago I was in their shoes. And we have a great set of coaches, and our donors and supporters are wonderful. Our administration is great. So it's been a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. Even with a pandemic, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, and Candace, I know you bring up David Williams. He meant so much to Vanderbilt University in his time as athletic director. I know it's probably hard to put into words, but what did you learn the most from being around him and the way he led the department?
Oh, man, you're right. It's I don't know that my words will do it justice, but I would say that he was so comfortable in his own skin and in his own shoes. And, you know, I think when you think about – so Vanderbilt has a history of trailblazing and pioneering. When you think about Perry Wallace being the first African-American basketball player in the SEC, and David Williams was the first African-American athletics director in the SEC, you know, Vanderbilt has always seemed to be a leader in that area. And David Williams is just it's hard for me to say, just a tremendous example. He was also, I mean, besides being certainly a brilliant thinker with a huge heart who cared about everyone, particularly young people, he was also a great family man. And so, you know, I used to wonder how he did it all, because I would watch him have to engage all these different stakeholders all the time, but we would laugh because in the middle of a very heated discussion or a crisis management plan, his phone would ring and it would be his wife or it'd be his son. And no matter where he was in the conversation, he would stop and make time for his family. And I don't know that he knew just how much of an impression that left on me and the rest of our staff. He led with integrity. He led with the right priorities. And I'm just, I'm grateful to have had the chance to sit alongside him for so long. And I'm still learning from him. You know, I certainly wish I could actually, well, at this point it would be Zoom him, but I wish I could sit with him right now and pick his brain. But he left me with so much knowledge that I'm able to call upon it. And it's a real blessing. So I appreciate you asking about him.
Well, if we didn't have the pandemic right now, one of the biggest things, and we saw this with Malcolm Turner, he put a lot of emphasis on the facility upgrades at Vanderbilt and everything else along the lines. The pandemic obviously changed the course of that, because that is the first and foremost thing. But after we get through the pandemic, where does all of that stand with the school?
Well, we're in a great place. So, you know, the pandemic slowed down the timing, right? But it didn't stop the plan. It hasn't stopped the momentum. We're still going to execute everything that we've set out to do and then some. But, you know, with a global crisis brewing, we certainly are shifting our attention to more immediate matters.
Right.
I would say it's a really interesting time for Vanderbilt in general, as we bring on a new chancellor who will, I guess, formally start July 1st, but he's been very much engaged with our current interim chancellor and provost, as well as the rest of the vice chancellors, and he's very excited. He's very excited about leveraging athletics and what it can mean for us as a university, and that's consistent with the rest of our administration. I mean, I think the thing that I'm most excited about is that we have tremendous widespread support both internally and externally, and facilities are a big part of that. You know, we want to provide the best student-athlete experience possible for our young people, and having high-quality facilities that reflect the excellence of our entire university, we know that that's important. So that's an appropriate next step for us, and it's still well underway, you know. So I think you know, certainly more will come from a public standpoint when our new chancellor arrives, but we're excited. The momentum is still building.
And Candace, I know that it's a big topic here in this state, college football, and when it's going to start. What about in your area in Nashville in the state of Tennessee? Where does that stand? I know you guys, are, of course, are following the lead of Greg Sankey, but what are the thoughts on getting Vanderbilt football started in the fall?
You know, I would say across the board from a league standpoint, so, you know, Vanderbilt included in that, we're all preparing for football to return in the fall. You know, that's what we have to do. Our focus is on coming back as scheduled. Now, I mean, I would be remiss if I said we didn't also have some other contingency plans that we're modeling should public health information suggest we have to do so. But our focus continues, and I think I can speak for you know, all of my peers in the conference. Our focus is on preparing for the fall, but we know we need to execute that in a safe way for everybody that's involved. And, you know, that's the first priority and will remain so. So that's what we're doing. And if we have the need to shift gears, we'll be prepared to do that too.
What will that look like in the fall when Vanderbilt returns? Obviously, has there been a discussion of playing football without the fans or having sporting events without the fans? Has that been a discussion?
I think all of those things are on the table. But you know, one of the things that Greg Sankey reminds us of just constantly, and I think it's so important, is that, you know, with each passing day and week, we gather more and more information.
Right.
So, you know, we know more today than we knew a month ago. And presumably we'll know more a month from now than we know today. And so the biggest thing is to let the experts do their job. You know, we're athletics people. We're not MDs. So we'll stay in our lane. I think we all need to do that and do that well. And you know, the reality is that there are a lot of unknowns. There are certainly more questions than answers. And in athletics, that's tough, right? Because we want to control everything, and we want it now, and we're hungry for it. And I think it allows us all. It's just very humbling, right? I think I keep using the word humility when I think about this pandemic, because it just reminds us that everything that we love and everything that we do is vulnerable, and we really don't control as much as we think we do. And so if nothing else, it just makes everybody hungry for sports. So when it's able to come back in a safe way, we'll be ready.
Well, and Candace, I wanted to ask you, how often are you in communication with Derek Mason? And he's a good friend of the show. We talk with him each and every year at SEC Football Media Days. Probably going to be a Zoom situation this year, unfortunately. But
that's right.
How often do you communicate with him, and what's that been like?
So I spoke with Derek Mason right before I called the show. We touch base every day. My phone is tired because it just randomly hangs up on people. So it hung up on him, but he knows it's my phone. So I grab my husband's phone and call into the show. But I talk to him every day. Every day. He loves to FaceTime. I'm not real big on FaceTime, but now the pandemic gives him a reason for us to FaceTime. So we do a lot of FaceTiming, but now, I talk to him all the time, and we have a wonderful relationship, and I've been very proud with how he and his staff have responded. I mean, they are still laser focused with their kids on preparing for the next step, but he's also just very mindful of the different dynamics at play. And that's the same for all of our coaches. I mean, they have been tremendous, tremendous.
I'm sure Coach is wanting to get onto the field. I mean, he's probably trying as hard as to get. Yeah. When you stepped into that role of athletics director, some of the challenges that you were having to face, what's been some of the biggest challenges for you making that switch?
You know, I think I prefer to look at it as just opportunities, right? Opportunities for us to grow and reach our potential. And so we have some opportunities relative to managing the narrative that's out there about Vanderbilt athletics. You know, I think it's important for us. We're known for our academic excellence and tradition. We've had pockets of success in athletics that we're very proud of, but you know, the goal is to have sustained success across our entire portfolio, and that's important. That's important because I know that's what our coaches and our kids and our fans deserve. I think the opportunity to be a leader in this college athletic space, and even though we're uniquely positioned, right, being a private school in the SEC, and you know, being a smaller school in a growing area. And some may look at that as a challenge, but I think it's a great opportunity. So speaking of Derek Mason always, when he's talking about, you know, our value proposition, he talks about the city, the degree, the SEC.
you know, and actually I'm supposed to say the degree first, so the degree the SEC. So Alan George on our staff is going to send me a text in a minute and say, come on, Candace. But that was a good catch on my part. We know the value of the degree. We know what the SEC is, and we're a charter member of the SEC, and we're proud of that. And then to do it in the landscape of this city that is just, you know, every little survey that comes out calls Nashville the hottest city, the it city, and we have an opportunity to leverage that. So I think that once we get to the other side of whatever normal looks like, we're just going to continue to dive into that. I think it's a great opportunity.
Well, and if you find the right fit, look at Tim Corbin. I mean, Vanderbilt has the best baseball program in the country. They're two-time national champs. And I wanted to ask you this, though, and I know this is really going to be a forward deal because it's a private school and there's Title IX stuff, but I've wondered, the SEC has become the top softball league in the country. Do you ever foresee a time in the future where Vanderbilt could join this and have a softball program?
So I would never say never, and I mean that because so if you're familiar with our campus, you know, our footprint is pretty tight.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's pretty tight, but as part of our master facility planning process, which we're just about done with what I would consider phase one of what will probably be a 5 or 6 phase plan, and included we're contemplating future growth, right? So expanding that footprint now. That's part of a larger conversation as a university when we think about campus land use and all of the planning that goes with that. But I would never say never. You know, I think when we think about our portfolio, we have 16 sports. That's the minimum for Division I. So we're always thinking about ways that we can expand. We just need to do it in a way that makes sense for us. And so you mentioned the baseball program, beautiful facility, wonderful tradition. You would want a softball program that mirrors that. And so there's a lot of work that has to go into that, but we're actively considering different options like volleyball, like softball. You know, there's different challenges to each and factors we have to consider, but I would never say never to that. I mean, I enjoy watching softball. It's so fan-friendly. You know, the ratings reflect that, and I know it's a big sport in our conference, so...
And then that Vanderbilt degree. Yeah.
And then that, right?
Yeah, there you go. You're playing in the best league with a chance to get a degree like that. I mean, wow.
You got it right.
I got it right.
Well, and I'd be remiss, Candace. I just received a text from one of your former teachers who's listening right now, and he can remember the exact seat you sat in his math class, but Coach Kent Chambers was texting me. He said, just to let you know, Bob Jones is very proud of you and what you've accomplished and what you continue to do. And I know the school meant a lot to you. I know you, of course, played for June Seals, but I know Coach Chambers has been there since 1986, and we had him on last week. I'm sure you saw the CNN report and what he did with some of his stimulus money with his beautiful wife.
Yes. Oh, I love that Coach Chambers sent you a text. He's wonderful. So what he's not going to tell you is last week he reached out to me to tell me about like a fundraiser where they're trying to get alums to shoot free throws to raise money. And I responded that my free throw percentage in college was 50. I think it was like 52%. And I'm like, and I just had a knee replacement. So, yeah, I'm not doing that. So he kind of teased me. And then I think he felt bad. And he's like, well, but we're still real proud of you. I said, oh, no, I appreciate that. I'm not going to embarrass myself and shoot free throws. It's great to hear from Coach Chambers. He's wonderful.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the basketball. And I do have to say thank you to Howard Pride. He helped make all of this happen.
Vanderbilt alum himself.
Vanderbilt alum himself.
Yes.
And we love him dearly. We're going to miss him here in the Rocket City. But let's talk about basketball, men's basketball, Jerry Stackhouse first year, and the women's basketball. Let's talk about the direction that they're both moving in.
Well, first, I do want to say congratulations to Howard. When I saw that he was coming to Middle Tennessee, I was very excited. He's going to Blackman, and that's my husband and I lived down the street from Blackman for several years, and it's a wonderful community. So I'm really, really excited for Howard. I'm really excited, too, for Memorial Magic, and it's definitely coming back. I feel really confident in our staffs. I think when you look at our men's and our women's programs, our women's program is now, when you look at what Stephanie White's been able to do from a recruiting standpoint, and they've been hit with the injury bug, and I can say the same thing on the men's side. that can be difficult to overcome at times. But the future is so bright, and I think we were able to see just some great glimpses of what it looks like when she can get talent that fits her system. You know, when coaches take over programs, a lot of times for the first part, they're just coaching culture, and that's a big part, and it's something that's probably understated when we think about inheriting programs. And she's a tremendous professional. She's done a great job, and I'm really excited for her. And Jerry Stackhouse, I mean, the opportunity to have someone with that name recognition, right? But The thing is, he was a great pro, and I mean, he's a great coach. He loves kids. He loves teaching. Like, he loves the basic fundamentals of the game. And if you love basketball, you should watch his practices. Because what he's able to do to connect with kids and to get them to execute is really fun to watch. It's really fun to watch. And I know, you know, some people wonder about making that transition from the pros to coaching. You can tell he has been a student of the game for a long time. And you bring up Stephanie and Jerry, and I have to say that they really do embody what all of our coaches do. Great, just love for Vanderbilt, for the student-athlete experience, for the game of basketball, you know, just for their sport. They have a passion for it, and they're also just really good people, and those are the type of people that fit Vanderbilt. So I'm just really excited to work with them as well as the rest of our coaches.
Well, and we're excited for your opportunity to lead Vanderbilt Athletics, and we're looking forward to hopefully the Commodores and Derek Mason taking the gridiron on September the 5th. We don't know yet, but we certainly hope so, as they will be at home against Mercer, and then hopefully everything will return to normal, Vanderbilt basketball continuing to rise. But Candace, we really appreciate the time, and you've done a great job.
Yeah, I want to ask you real fast too. One of the things that the NCAA, you know, they're letting the baseball players come back for their final season and stuff. Is that something that Vanderbilt, you know, because we've heard Barry Alvarez say, "Hey, we want to encourage our seniors to kind of move on." Is Vanderbilt? I mean, are you guys encouraging them to, you know, say, "Hey, if you want to come back, can you come back?" Is that an option for them?
So I think we're in a really favorable position because we had a very small number of seniors that were eligible to return. So we only had 21 seniors in our spring sport. So that's a really small number, and it just happened to fall that way. And of those, so we said to all 21, if you want to come back, you have the opportunity to do so. But now something that's unique about us that doesn't apply to the other schools in our league is that when you complete your undergraduate degree, the only way that you can continue as a student is to enter a graduate program. So you don't have the opportunity to pursue like a second baccalaureate degree or to extend your current degree. And that's very different. So of that 21, you know, we did have some who had already accepted positions, just jobs. We had some that very interested in like a very unique professional experience or graduate program that we don't offer at Vanderbilt. But we said to all 21, you have the opportunity to come back. I just think for various factors, we're only going to end up with probably no more than five, but we extended it to everyone and would have found a way to make that work.
Yeah. And awesome. The Vanderbilt degree means so much. So absolutely. Well, Candace, thank you for the time. Once again, this is Candace Story Lee, the athletic director of the Vanderbilt Commodores and Vanderbilt University, former member of our community here in Madison County, Bob Jones graduate, 1996 Gatorade State Player of the Year, and now continuing to become one of the rising administrators in college athletics. Thank you so much for the time, and continue to stay safe, and we look forward to seeing Vanderbilt athletics in the fall and then on into the winter next spring.
Thank you so much. I wish you and your families and your friends well. I hope everybody stays safe and healthy. And I have to say hi to my mom because I know she's listening. Hey, Mom.
Absolutely. Thank
awesome.
Her for listening. That's great. We enjoy having four members of our community who have done so well come join us on Talking Ball, and we thank you for the time.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Awesome interview right there, Drew. I mean, that is just Candace Story Lee, Vanderbilt Athletics Director, joining us on the Neighbors Wealth Management Hotline. We will put that interview up on the website, the 977ESPN.com website. That'll be under the featured interview section in case you missed it. And that'll be up there later today. That is some great stuff. Great insight, though, to the conference as well. is kind of like what they're doing. It's amazing that they started out every day, 7 days a week, with a conference call with Greg Sankey.
And the one thing we know about Derek Mason, he's a salesman and he's always optimistic. And so he's continuing to try to raise the profile of Vanderbilt football, continuing to grind, as he calls it, on the West End. And not surprised that he's in constant communication with Candace Story Lee. And I'm sure he does love the FaceTime. And I will say, if there's one head coach you can count on being on Radio Row at SEC Media Days, it's Derek Mason. And we had him with last year, and we've had him several times. He's a great guy and so enthusiastic. And we hope Vandy can get back to their winning ways and get back to a bowl game in the fall.
Well, you know what? You were talking about virtual SEC Media Days, and she was like, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that's where we're going this year. It hasn't been announced except for July, and I know they're talking about taking their time and waiting and waiting. But I have a feeling the SEC will join the other conferences in having a virtual SEC Media Day this year. They just have to get with ESPN and the SEC Network to take care of them first.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much all the other Power 5 leagues are going virtual this year. That's just part of the environment. It's unfortunate we would have been in Atlanta in the College Football Hall of Fame this year for SEC Football Media Days. But what it entails more than likely is that in 2021 we'll be in the stomping grounds of Candace Story Lee in Nashville. So we look forward to that. And it's just an unprecedented time, but everybody needs to continue to stay safe. And we appreciate everyone in the community for listening to that interview. I know we had a lot of people joining us today that are friends and have followed the great career of Candace Story Lee. And we appreciate her giving us an extended conversation during this unprecedented time.
Yeah, it was good. Should have got our thoughts on James Harden.
Nah, forget that. I mean, you know.
One of the top 55 players of all time.
Yeah. Got to have taken the most shots ever. I can say that. And probably played the worst defense.
All right, that's going to do it for this Thursday edition of Talking Ball. Don't forget to head to 977ESPN.com. You can click on Zone Deals. Get some of the best half-off deals throughout the Tennessee Valley, as well as click on Podcast. Hear any of the previous three shows if you missed any of them. And you can click on Featured Interviews for the best interviews of all three.
Well, we want to thank Trey Biddy. We want to thank Mike Rodak for also joining us, along with Candace Story Lee. The Czar, 12-2, and Stephen West tonight, 5-7 from Baumhauer's. We'll talk to you at 7:01 a.m.